What's good, football fans? Welcome back to the Fourth and Out podcast alongside my good friends Brady Bradley and Jeremy. My name is Josh, and we appreciate you all tuning in. Boys, this season has gone way quicker than I would have liked it to be. How are we doing?
Yeah, you hit it the nail on the head. We're doing good.
It's fine.
It's going by so fast, even to the point where, I mean, Bradley and I, when we see each other, this weekend we start talking about draft stuff. Like, their draft is starting to pick up. Like, that's the crazy stuff. NFL goes by so fast. It's gonna be April before we know it, and we're gonna be talking about prospects. So fun week 13 though. So both our teams won.
Really quick, as far as the draft goes, having two teams that made trades that they thought they were selling, and then getting these amazing picks in return, like Seattle getting Denver's pick, and then Detroit getting the Los Angeles Rams pick. That is going to be so interesting to talk about, and a lot of different levers to be moved around here in the offseason. Looking forward to it.
Especially since one of them was a terrible trade. Like, the Denver one, total loss. But the Detroit one, I still side with LA on that. You win a Super Bowl.
I mean, if you get a Super Bowl, it's pretty hard to argue with that. But where Denver, but from Detroit's perspective, they weren't winning anyway, and they got, and obviously with this pick, it's spectacular value.
Yeah, we got some weeks ago, but yeah, I agree. It's good value. Let's talk some Week 13 recap. Kind of a crazy week. Some upsets you see here and there. We're doing our normal one big thing for each of the games, and then if there's anything else that the other guys have to bring up, we'll do that as well. Let's start with Buffalo and New England. Bradley, this one's you.
Yeah, so Thursday night game, Buffalo won 24-10. Honestly, a little bit of a disappointment of a game. Thought it was going to be kind of a shootout a little bit, with New England having a really good Thanksgiving Day and just Buffalo's offense being really good. The one big thing is that we all need to appreciate how good and consistent Stephon Diggs is. He is the wide receiver one this season. He's finished in the top 10 in 75% of his games that he's played this season, and he has a TD in consecutive games for the last 3 weeks. My honorable mention, one big thing, because we've been talking about it.
Two big things?
James Cook. He's James. Led the Buffalo Bills in scoring for the running back position.
I'll carry Devin Singletary as well.
He did.
Did six not targets. Like it was essentially a three-headed backfield, because Nyheim Hines got a little bit more work. But having 14 carries for James Cook is a win, I would say.
Committed to the run as well. Buffalo was. Now, I don't know what's going on in New England. That game felt like it was over after Buffalo scored. Was it 21-10 at one point? Yeah. I believe the score was, and it just felt like might as well just sim the rest of the game. It's over. Like, they're not scoring. And one touchdown was a corner. Corner caught it. Granted, he's a punt returner as well, but yeah, not great for New England, and we'll see if they make some change on the offensive end too.
Absolutely.
Pittsburgh, Atlanta.
Yep. So this one's me. My one big thing is Drake London not necessarily being touchdown dependent in order to have a good week. Now, he had 12 targets this game, which he hadn't had since week two. Between those 2 weeks, the highest target usage he's had is 7. So it's very, very statistically relevant. And Pitts not being there certainly is not going to hurt his target share by any stretch, but 95 yards is a career high. So that's something to be able to build off of and be able to take to the bank. So he had 15.5 full point PPR points, which you're not going to be upset by any stretch when you get that from him. So that was my one big thing from this game. Anything else that you want to touch on with this game?
Do you play Drake London going forward?
No.
I think he's got to stack a couple more.
In my opinion, the best part of that stat line is that he had 12 targets and Marcus Mariota threw the ball 24 times. Half the time he dropped back to pass and throw the ball.
Very true.
It was Drake London.
It's unfortunate they have a bye next week, but so that's does not exactly help that. But it is nice to see for his, you know, short, medium, long term with his trust in the offense.
Yeah. Weird scoring game.
Very much so.
It was not the lowest scoring game, though. that a good segue?
You guys wanted to give that one to me again, huh? All right. Well, we'll jump into that one, Denver and Baltimore. So I could have went the route as far as the one big thing talking about how you shouldn't trust Russell Wilson. But hopefully you listened last week to me tell you that you should not trust Russell Wilson because, yes, again, he could not muster over 11 points. That's all they needed to win the game, 11. If they, again, that makes the stat where all they needed to score was at least 18 points and they could be, you know, only have like three losses. It's crazy what is going on over there in Denver. Okay. But I'll jump into the Ravens side of things. If you're a Ravens fan, Lamar being injured is definitely not a good thing. Now encouraging thing is that it doesn't appear to be season ending, but it looks like it's going to be at least.
John Harbaugh said days to weeks, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that is correct. Yep, so definitely not encouraging there, but I don't think all is lost as far as the Ravens. When it comes to fantasy perspective from that, I would be doing, if you don't have one of the, you know, high contributors as far as the quarterbacks go, I would be very interested in Tyler Huntley. This is somebody that came in limited action, had 15 plus fantasy points, rushes very similar to Lamar. And again, we've seen it over and over and over again. That can be a cheat code. Now we're getting closer to the fantasy playoffs, so it's hard to lean on that. But this is somebody that has been there and done it. I mean, he's been very productive when he has played for Lamar. So that is somebody that I would at least take a look at. And at the very least, you keep him off of any opponent's roster if you have a spot and if you have some money to spend.
And guys, let's not forget that they have a very friendly playoff matchup for the fantasy playoffs. So if you were planning on Lamar Jackson, like, sorry to break the news to you guys, coaches lie about injuries. Like, he could be done for the season. He could be back next week. So if Tyler Huntley is playing for an extended amount of time, he's got a very favorable matchup in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to talk about with a 9-10 game. So let's move on to Green Bay versus Chicago. Green Bay came back and won this game 28-19. My one big thing, two people on this pod are probably going to be happy about it. A.J. Dillon is now a factor down the stretch. Obviously, Jeremy's happy because the Packers. Bradley's happy. That's a my guy.
My guy.
TDs in back-to-back weeks. That's big. Cold weather starting to happen. They might be relying on him a little bit more. Double-digit touches the last 2 weeks as well. That is a big, big deal. 18 carries today. That's a lot. And then last but certainly not least, Aaron Jones is banged up now too. This is a guy that has missed games in the past because of injury. But the thing is, also running backs miss games too. Starting running backs do miss games throughout the year. A.J. Dillon, if Aaron Jones does not play next week, you can lock and load him in a top 15 running back. So that's my one big thing. A.J. Dillon, 19.4 fantasy points.
He's on a bye next week. But the following week, I totally agree.
Okay, against the Rams. Well, yeah, good. I don't care about the Packers schedule, so. Can't lose that one then. There you go, Becker.
I know. I was really excited about that matchup, actually.
He ain't losing.
I appreciate you calling me out on that one. That would have been bad.
I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware of it.
He is not in my waiver, so. Trash. Stash your trash. Get him out of here.
All right, next game, Jacksonville-Detroit. Detroit blew Jacksonville out 40-14. My one big thing is, even though it's wintertime out, the sun god still prevails. Amon-Ra St. Brown, averaging 10 targets a game in the past 6 weeks. He has three top 10 finishes in the past 6 weeks, and he is a top three receiver this week. I'm interested, rest of the season, where you guys think of him. I think for sure he's a wide receiver one. I'm willing to go up to maybe wide receiver 10, but I don't think I would go any higher than that.
We'll get into that a little bit later this episode in our One's Gotta Go, but that is tough because he has, you know, he has the Vikings next week, which obviously is an incredible matchup. But
no, it's not.
It's not, huh?
No.
No.
I would say if you're comfortable with him, top 15 rest of the year. That's where I sit.
I don't have an issue with 10, in my opinion.
I feel comfortable at top 15 like Brady. 10's a little tight.
I say top 15 just because of J-Mo coming back. I don't know how much he's going to be involved.
That's a very fair point.
I still think Amon-Ra is the number 1-2 option.
Yeah, but
Dan Campbell is talking about him being Gunner.
That's just,
let's not talk about Dan Campbell. No, please.
It's going to raise the blood pressure a little bit. All right. Well, that brings us to the next game here. We had Cleveland Houston, which was a very, like, this game was circled on the calendar before the season even started. The game that Watson was coming back facing his former team, and it disappointed as far as like the fireworks of, you know, the quarterback coming into the offense and trying to rejuvenate a lot of the playmakers there. But my one big thing is, strictly from a football perspective, I do think that there are better things to come with Watson. Like, he hasn't played, you know, in a while, obviously, with on the field, and
2 years, right? Mm-hmm. It's been 2 years since he's played a regular season. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a long time. So I do envision there to be brighter days ahead with not only his performance, but with Cooper and the running backs on the squad as well. So that's my one big thing from this game, is that I do think that there are brighter days ahead for Watson and the playmakers in that Cleveland offense.
Josh, you talked about two trades early on in the episode. This is another one. Houston's got two first round picks this year.
That's a really good point.
So obviously Cleveland's still trying to play for a playoff spot. They're 5-6-7 now, I believe.
5-7.
Are they 5-7?
They're 5-7.
Okay. 5-7.
And they got Cincy and Baltimore next 2 weeks too. So those aren't exactly
5-9.
Yeah. Boy, that's an interesting theme of this upcoming offseason, of those teams that we're not expecting to have these awesome picks from trades that do.
Yeah. It's interesting. For sure. Let's talk. So I got to talk about the Packers. Jeremy, you get to talk about the Vikings.
All right, so my one big thing could have been that for a team that's 10-2, they probably give you guys the most scares and roller coaster rides of all time. They make it close again at the end. But the big thing for me is just Mike White can carry some fantasy assets. I mean, again, this was a favorable matchup. Sorry, guys, but it was. I mean, it has been this year. You've seen that a little bit at the wide receiver position. Zonovan Knight had a really good day. I mean, 15 carries, 90 on the ground, caught 5 passes. Garrett Wilson exploded. Eight catches, 162 yards, averaged over 20 yards a catch. Corey Davis had 10 targets. Now, Mike White had to throw the ball 57 times, so that's going to help. I mean, any sorts of fantasy assets. But, I mean, Garrett Wilson is absolutely somebody you can trust down the stretch here. After this week, this coming week where they play the Bills, he then gets the Lions, the Jags, and the Seahawks. This is someone that I think if Mike White is still playing quarterback, you can definitely trust in the fantasy playoffs.
I hope people did not listen to me when I gave waivers and said James Robinson. He looked horrible today. I know we only got 4 carries, but like, Zonovan Knight had 15 carries for 90 yards, and it didn't look like James Robinson did anything when he touched the ball. 4 carries for 10 yards.
Yeah, I don't see that that baton being passed to Robinson much at all the way that Knight looked. He looked quite explosive and thought that he's going to be toting that rock for the rest of the season.
I will be interested to see how it goes with Michael Carter back. But I would say that he takes more of Ty Johnson's and James Robinson's work. I think Zonovan's going to be the guy going forward.
I think it's super James encouraging. Robinson's
inactive. He'll be inactive when.
I think it's super encouraging for Zonovan Knight that Ty Johnson still had 7 targets. Like, it's not like that he was just completely out of the game and he got everything. Like, there was still quite a bit of passing game work that was being given to Johnson.
Would you guys say it's an overreaction to say that Garrett Wilson is a wide receiver 2 with Mike White as quarterback?
No, I don't think that's an overreaction, because I don't think that's incredibly high bar for him, and the competition in that wide receiver room, like, doesn't look like it's going to be very tough to be able to be the alpha one there.
I think that's about the right line.
I don't even know if we have, yeah, we don't have him on Stash or Trash. Elijah Moore just doesn't even get to be on.
No, he doesn't have the conversation.
He doesn't get the honor.
He's on the bottom of the dumpsters, so it's too far gone for us to reach in.
I know I was high on him in the draft season too, but Braxton Berrios was playing
great year last year.
Yeah, I don't know.
So frustrating.
Yeah, well, I get to talk about a tie. So Washington versus the New York Giants tied 2020. My one big thing is the Stars do their thing. Saquon at 16.5 fantasy points. Terry McLaurin at 20.5 fantasy points. I mean, I would even include Brian Robinson Jr. getting his 12-ish fantasy points that he needed. You can't trust any of the receivers. So I just think the two stars in this game, McLaurin and Saquon, they did their thing. They helped you out, and they tied. So there's really nothing else to talk about.
Have we seen a bigger discrepancy in production with just a simple quarterback change than we have from when Carson Wentz got replaced with Heinicke with Terry McLaurin's production? It is night and day. It's insane.
But it doesn't matter. It's strictly Heinicke.
The quarterback.
I don't remember even who the quarterback was last year before Heinicke. Same thing. When Heinicke went in there, it was like, oh, McLaurin just went nuts. So it is strictly Heinicke and McLaurin. I thought it was funny how, what was it? McLaurin said something about like, oh, I'd go to war with Heinicke like any time. Yeah, because he throws you the ball 10 times.
Well, how do you feel about Terry, Scary Terry, rest of year? I know they got to buy next week, but then they have the Giants, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Browns. So obviously the bye is a huge part of that. But you think he's a top 15, 16 receiver rest of year?
Nope.
No. I would take Garrett Wilson over Terry McLaurin.
Yep.
Interesting. So, yeah. No, I suppose.
Last week, my one big thing, I had the Washington game last time, and I said, did Scary Terry lose his bite? Because he was anemic, and he had a good week this week.
Ooh, good work.
So I think you just ride the roller coaster with him.
You have to play him, though.
For sure.
Yeah, you do. I think you do.
All right, next game. Philadelphia, Tennessee. This one's going to be really quick because Philadelphia dominated the game. Derrick Henry was brutal. My one big thing is ultimate revenge game for A.J. Brown. 8 for 119 and 2 touchdowns. Top two receiver, I think, on this week with him and Devontae Adams. Long term for A.J. Brown, you really just have to be okay with the boom bust weeks. He's going to get you a top five wide receiver play, and then he might get you a wide receiver 40 the next week. The big thing with him is the number eight targets. If he gets 8 targets, his numbers are very, very good. So obviously as a fantasy owner, you can't control that, but it's just something to monitor if he's getting over 8 targets.
Which is crazy because that's not that high of a bar for like a superstar wide receiver to like get 8 targets in a game should be automatic week in and week out. So
that feels like his career though, to be honest. I mean, even when he was in Tennessee.
It does. That's very fair. What do you think about Devonta Smith as well? Like he popped quite a bit here, had five receptions for 102 and 1. How do you feel about him rest of year?
He's even bigger of a roller coaster than AJ Brown is. He can't get better than AJ Brown in my opinion, but he can get a heck of a lot worse.
He looks so – this has nothing to do with fantasy. He looks so small compared to A.J. Brown when they're out there. It's just so small. I mean, A.J. Brown's huge, but, yeah, I don't know, irrelevant. One quick note, Treylon Burks, you're going to look at the stats and be like, oh, he only had 1 target. What am I supposed to do with him? You keep him. He got a concussion. He caught a touchdown. It was one target, too. So,
it was like right away.
Whenever he's back – I think he's a flex option for the rest of the year.
Yep. I do agree as well. Yep. So then that brings us to the next game, Miami and San Francisco. The biggest, you know, news from this game was that Jimmy G's out for the year. We just actually found that out before we started recording. So that's, you know, not what you want to hear from, especially with a lot of the fantasy pieces in San Francisco, like Debo, Ayuk, Kittle.
We should talk about that. Yeah. How do we feel? Because that's your one big thing, right? The Jimmy G.
That was going to be it. Yeah.
Okay. So we should talk about rest of the year for the assets. Up or down for Christian McCaffrey?
Up.
Up.
Way up, right? Josh, you agree?
Sure.
Okay. Let's talk Debo. I think up as well for Debo.
Probably up.
I would agree. More touches.
Ayuk?
Down.
Down.
Right. And probably the same with Kittle.
I think he's
about. You got to play Kittle. Yeah,
those two things can be. Those don't have to be mutually exclusive. It can be down, but you still are more or less forced to play him because the tight end position is just that way. but I don't think this is going to be a great thing for Kittle, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably not. It's Debo and CMC, right? They're going to get all those short targets. So, yeah. Anything on the Miami side before we move on?
I just think that this is just, stating the obvious, but it's just incredible how much Tyreek Hill has just been not only the high ceilings, but just insanely consistent. Like Tua's just been looking deep at him all the time. I saw the deep target that he had. Like this game was a lot closer than the scores indicating. Like late in the game, like there was a couple quick scores from scores from San Francisco that made this look not very close, but it very much was a game. And it was just incredible from Tyreek Hill, and someone that I'm really interested to see how the fantasy community reacts this upcoming year.
I cannot wait. One of these times we'll do a one's got to go with coaching candidates next year. DeMeco Ryans will have a job.
Oh,
if he wants it.
Imagine.
He's got to be the hottest commodity.
Yeah. Their defense is ridiculous. I know Miami did not have their left tackle and their right tackle, so that really helps when you have Nick Bosa. but yeah, he is a very good defensive coach.
Absolutely.
Seattle versus the Rams.
All right. The big thing for me is that two of the bigger fantasy steals from the season, maybe the wide receiver one and the wide receiver two in Seattle, thanks to Geno Smith. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf have been extremely steady. And they've had some big boom weeks, but I mean, they're both, I looked before we hopped on and went live. I mean, they're both top 20 wide receivers, half point PPR. Yeah. And I think DK was dropped significantly. He's probably not too far off to where he was drafted. I'm guessing he was drafted somewhere around like wide receiver 20. So it's not a crazy, but I think Tyler Lockett is probably the biggest one of them all. He was probably, I think we had him on average, probably between the four of us, somewhere wide receiver 30, like somewhere in there, maybe even
40. Oh, yeah.
For example, in a redraft league for 12 teams that I was in, he went at the end of the eighth round. That's a really good call, Jeremy.
This seems to be Lockett's career, too. I feel like every single year you kind of expect like some drop off from Tyler Lockett, but he continues to be arguably one of the most consistent wide receivers in the league, and to do it at the size that he is kind of crazy. So
to be fair, he does not ever take a hit.
Have you seen those Twitter compilations of just him catching them all and being like, okay, I'm hitting the ground? And it's
he does that sometimes to a fault, though. There's sometimes where he's close to the first down and he just drops down. Like,
I mean, that's why he's performing at this level at the age of 30, though. Like, that's how you prolong your career. And I know it's not going to be aesthetically pleasing by any stretch to watch it, but you got to do what you got to do.
I mean, they combined for 20 targets between the two of them today. I mean, they've been, they're going to really help you down the stretch.
That was a really good one, big thing. Moving on to Kansas City versus Cincinnati. This might be a surprise for you, but we haven't talked about it. My one big thing is there's a running back in KC that has value, ? And that's Isaiah Pacheco. 14 plus carries in each of the last 4 weeks. He's had double digit points in the last 3 weeks as well. Finished with 15.2. He had 14 carries for 66 yards and a touchdown and caught both of his targets. They're giving him the football. Something they really didn't do with Clyde. So I believe it's Pacheco's backfield going forward. Obviously McKinnon's going to be involved. He had 8 carries for 51 yards today. But I feel like you can play Pacheco at an RB2 flex spot. You're not going to love it, but you can play him there.
I agree. I think he's got value. And you always want, and we make fun of Josh or mock the whole piece of a pie thing, you always want players that are tagged to a good offense. That helps tremendously because they're going to be scoring a lot of points.
Totally.
And I know you haven't seen a ton from him, but he needs one play. He needs one play to really have a boom week. And if he continues to touch the ball from the backfield 14 times, I mean, that's going to help.
All right, let's close up the week 13 games. Los Angeles Chargers versus the Vegas Raiders. Vegas won 27-20. My one big thing here is no matter the quarterback, and that's Davante Adams. His targets, he has 135 targets this season. That is on pace for 190 targets. He's the wide receiver one this week. He has had 3 wide receiver ones in the last 5 weeks. and he has 7 touchdowns in the last 5 weeks. So the last 5 games that he's had is an unreal spurt that he's been going on.
He has 5 games that he has 13 or more targets this year. That's going to get the job done.
We don't talk about, like, we as in, like, no, the NFL media does not talk about him enough about being the potential best receiver in football just because he switched teams. I feel like it was like when he was in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, like, okay, he's the best receiver in football. He gets traded, and it's like, okay, is it Cooper Kupp? Diggs? Has Jefferson or Chase done it? It's like, while I think Justin Jefferson's the best receiver in football, Devontae Adams still has a case to be the best receiver in football, along with Tyreek Hill.
I think that's a really interesting point too of how I'm gonna speak for myself, I suppose, not necessarily speak for you guys, but historically speaking, when big receivers move in the offseason, it's almost always a bad thing. But right now, you have to think of the AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, all 3 of them having great years so far. Like, it's incredibly interesting how they've been able to adapt and learn the offense and get the camaraderie with the quarterbacks quick enough to be able to put this amount of production like this consistently. It's really interesting.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
I was just going to say, you know, we put a lot of stock into those historical stats too, like when we're ranking all this stuff. And I know that, you know, hinged on some of my rankings of AJ Brown. And I think when we see this, we don't see receivers to this caliber move teams that often. Like, we see receivers move, but to these 3's caliber, like, you just got to trust the talent. So I think that's one thing you probably want to kind of write in your notebook as you think about fantasy season next year. If you see any big things this offseason, when you see high caliber players in the NFL get moved, just trust the talent, because you're seeing it from these 3 guys, to Josh's point.
Good question. Bradley, I think it was 2 years ago when we were going through that coaching carousel. Your favorite hire was Brandon Staley. Do you believe he's on the hot seat?
I believe he's on the hot seat, yes.
I do too.
I would not get rid of him if I were the Chargers.
I could see why you wouldn't.
I think he is on the hot seat just with the amount of talent they have. They brought in a lot of free agent talent as well. This was a team that was supposed to compete
they
for
put their chips in.
How bad was that JC Jackson sign? I know he's hurt, so like I don't want to kick him while he's down, but like he got benched when he was healthy.
Yeah, he struggled this year.
Yeah. Their defense has been extremely disappointing.
Bad. Let's flex or fade.
Flex or fade. We know the drill. If we think it's going to be achieved, we flex it. If we don't, we fade it.
Can you repeat that? You didn't say the flex, right?
You want to flex on them?
We got to flex on them. There we go.
First one, we're going to talk about that bad man that is Devontae Adams. He plays the Los Angeles Rams. His benchmark is wide receiver 4 or better. He has done that 5 times this season where he is wide receiver 4 or better.
I mean, that's such a high line. That's an incredibly high line. I know he's been on fire, but I got to fade. That's just an incredibly high line.
I'm going to flex. He has been the wide receiver 1 3 times in the last 5 weeks. So numbers say he might do it. So I'm going to flex.
I will fade because he's playing Jalen Ramsey.
I'll flex.
Yeah,
we appreciate that. Next guy is Garrett Wilson versus the Buffalo Bills. His line is 15.5 PPR. Fantasy points are better. So sorry, 15 half point PPR fantasy points are better. Just for context, in the last 5 games, he is averaging 15.54 fantasy points per game.
Fade.
That's interesting. I think I would, but they're going to have to chase the game because Buffalo is going to put up points. So I'm actually going to flex. I think he's going to get her done.
I'm going to fade.
It's a little bit different chasing the game when you're playing Buffalo instead of Minnesota's defense.
Very true.
I think he is heating up, but I don't think he's going to catch fire. I'm going to fade.
Sure. Dalvin Cook is next. He plays Detroit Lions. RB1, meaning running back 12 or better. He has done that a third of the games this year, 4 out of 12.
Pause really quick. What do you think the over-under is going to be for next week's game? Because I think that kind of plays into this a little bit of like, because whether it be a shootout and they're going to be passing the ball a lot or depending on the running game. Do you think it's like 54 and a half? Like the game's going to be a super high scoring game. It's I would imagine.
What did you say, Jeremy?
It's 52.
It is. Oh, I'd take the over on that.
we don't bet. So
I'm just saying that.
Does that because, change your flex or fade, Josh? Now that you know the whole
because of that, I'm gonna fade because I don't think he's gonna be getting as many touches as he would in a normal game.
I will flex. Yeah,
I am flexing.
Let's go, Dalvin.
No question. Come on.
Next Dalvin. One, Miles Sanders, one rushing touchdown or better. He has done that 7 out of the 12 games this year with a rushing touchdown.
Flex.
I'm gonna flex as well.
I'll flex.
Well, shoot. I'll flex too.
Or to Miles flexing. Our guy, friend of the show, Najee Harris, versus the the Baltimore Ravens. His benchmark Buffalo is Ravens. 10 half-point PPR points. Just for context, he has gone over 10 points 5 times this season.
Man.
I'll start. I'm fading.
I'll flex.
I'm going to flex because it was encouraging that he had 17 carries today after being banged up.
That's a good point.
I'm also going to flex.
Yep. An efficient 5 yards per carry.
Not something that we get very, very
common. And caught a body and threw him on the ground. Did you guys see that video?
Yeah, he did.
That'll win angry runs, no doubt in my mind. Sheesh.
DK Metcalf versus the Carolina Panthers, wide receiver 18 or better. He is currently the wide receiver 18, and he has done this half of the season, 6 out of 12 times.
I'm not trying to be a prisoner of the moment. Yeah, I'm not trying to be a prisoner of the moment, but this is a smash flex for me.
I'm going to fade it.
Ooh. It should be good. Why? I'm
just going to fade it. Carolina's got a better defense than people think. They're always in most Carolina. Yes.
I'm surprised it's taken that long to
bring
that down here.
It should have happened earlier.
Brady, did you say Becker?
I said flex.
I flex as well.
3-1. Last one is Ramondre Stevenson versus the Arizona Cardinals. 6 receptions or better. He has done that 5 out of 12 games. Remind you, he is a running back.
Man. This was tough. This was good.
I'm a fade.
I'll flex.
I'm flexing.
I'm flexing. He's guru status.
Oh, this is for sure happening this week.
Yeah, he got this. Did he get the stamp last week? So now you're forced to flex on this.
He did.
That was good. Love it. Let's take a quick break, come back, and do week 14 preview.
Hi guys, this is Jeremy Becker from the 4th and a Mile podcast. Just wanted to thank you guys for tuning in and remind you to follow us on Twitter at 4th and a Mile Pod. That's 4th and a Mile Pod. Thanks guys, and now back to the sports.
Welcome back into the 4th and a Mile podcast. Doing some week 14 preview. Starting with our waivers, we're doing our top 5 and honorable mention. I'll give a warning. My waivers are running back heavy this week. I don't know about you guys.
Not so much. Kind of for me.
Okay, I have 4.
Okay. Let's get into it.
Okay, let's start with the honorable mention. Who's your honorable mention?
My honorable mention was Kyren Williams. I know he didn't play well, but he has the Raiders next week.
I went with DJ Dallas just in case. And obviously this is Sunday night. We don't know what Kenneth Walker's status is, or unless you guys do, but
nope.
That's why I have him as an honorable mention, because he's worth, depending on how deep your league is.
Good call.
Mine was Nico Collins. He's been targeted a decent amount, had 10 targets today.
I'd be interested to know if you have my honorable mention in your top 5. I'm going with Jameson Williams. I don't know if I trust Dan Campbell.
Yes.
But he's a top 15 pick, so he should be on your roster. Number five,
I had Tyler Huntley. He has a friendly playoff schedule, and you can easily stream him if you're not having a great quarterback situation on your team. I think he's a great option.
I went with a different Lions receiver in 2019 called and said, hey, maybe you should pick this guy up, and that's DJ Chark.
DJ IUB.
Hey.
J-Bex, who's number 5 for you?
My number 5 is Jerick McKinnon. We've talked about him a little bit. He's been used. has been getting, you know, somewhere between 3 to 5 targets. I mean, that's valuable in that offense. So could play him.
I need DJ Dallas for my number 5.
I like it. Brady, I'm surprised. I was looking at some Kyren Williams stats, but Cam Akers got in the tub twice and I haven't heard a peep out of you.
Number 4.
Number 4, I had Evan Engram. He had 3 stinkers before this, so he's probably on your waiver wire, but was very involved and he has the trust of Trevor Lawrence.
Number 4 for me was Drake London.
Ooh, yeah. Good shout.
That's fair.
My number 4 was DJ Dallas.
Bradley's going to hate this. My number 4 is James Cook.
Oh, now you're back on the side, huh?
Well, I thought you would have
said why.
I thought you would have thought it was too low. Does that make sense?
How many thoughts we
thoughts
think?
You thought the thought.
we thought they were. We let them out there.
You know what I meant.
Oh, you trashed them last week.
I would have thought that you thought that then I thought and you thought that was too low.
Glad we made it there. But yes, you dropped him last week. You pick him back up this week. He's number 4.
Little teeter totter.
Yep. Number 3.
Number 3, I have Samaje Perine. If Mixon is out, he's a must start, no question.
I'm out on that. Yep. Mixon's bad.
That's bad.
Zonovan Knight's my 3rd.
That's also bad.
Why?
Because Brady has him as 1.
He's got to be higher.
No.
Jeremy, who's Zonovan your number Knight 3?
I mean, I agree with that.
Zonovan Knight.
Attaboy.
Wow. Interesting.
I was hoping you listened to me last week because I think he was like my number 2.
Speaking of number 2, Zonovan Knight.
You wanna? Can I say my number 3 or?
You may. Okay. I got excited because I heard number 2 is Zonovan Knight.
Tyler Huntley.
I like it.
Really?
I like it. He's gonna ball. He showed it.
Number 2.
So number 2 is Zonovan Knight. He looked spectacular, and he's got the work, and he's gonna be that number 1 running back here in for the New York Jets.
I went Jared Goff. Has a favorable matchup against the Vikings.
He is going to do he's going to put up so many points.
Yes,
he's going to put up so many points.
Really good matchup.
My next, and after seeing Bradley's face after he was mentioned at number 3, can't wait to see it now, Tyler Huntley.
It's
absolutely right.
You guys would take Tyler Huntley over Jared Goff next week?
No. Goff is going to score so many points next week.
I would consider it.
I'm playing Huntley.
They play
really?
Pitt.
I don't know.
Vikings might bring some heat. We might switch to man next week. I'm just saying.
God, we're going to have to switch something up. My goodness. Is everyone given their number 2?
Okay, Amon-Ra is my start of the week this week. We switched to man.
No, I have not given my number 2. This player had 17 carries today. He had 60 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. He finished as the running back 6 on today.
Cam Akers.
That is Cam Akers. Josh ruined
the I ruined it. I'm so sorry.
Get him on your roster. It's go time. Let's go.
I ruined 17 carries. That's 100% on me. And my number 1 this week is Jameson Williams.
Number 1?
Number 1.
Brady, is he your number 1 too?
No, mine was Cam Akers.
Let's go.
I'm sipping the 2 touchdown juice.
Let's go.
What about you, Becker?
I didn't hear you, Jeremy.
Mine was James Cook.
Okay. Let's go.
Welcome. Bradley's welcome. All are invited.
Yep, you guys hop on in.
Zonovan Knight was my number 1. He looked really good today.
Good running back options. Bottom line, there's some good running back options.
Yep. Stash or trash time? Jacoby Myers?
I would
trash last week. He's trash this week.
He's really banged up. His offense is super inconsistent, and it's hard to tell who's the number 1 there. Honestly, if I had to say a number 1 there, it'd be Ramondre for the passing game. So,
yep.
Guru
is.
I am trash.
Cordero.
Trash.
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 I would take every single running back we talked about today.
In DJ Dallas.
No question.
Maybe not DJ Dallas.
because you just don't know.
Just because you just don't know.
It hurts.
It's Chase Claypool.
Trash.
Trash.
You don't need to laugh when you say it, Josh. That's mean.
It just stinks for him because he was trying to get a new opportunity and it's just not working out so far. Lots of time.
Kareem Hunt.
They're going to figure it out.
This has been one of the bigger surprises of the season. And to be honest with you, I would take Zonovan Knight and probably Cam Akers over Kareem Hunt at this point.
Me too.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd be talked into it.
Sounds like you were just talking to it.
I was.
Somebody else say this next person because I'm not saying it.
Adam Thielen.
Stash,
but it's a conversation worth having.
He's getting in the top next week. Book it.
He's not going to if he keeps running into defenders.
That's fair.
Mine was trash. Sorry, guys.
That's an absolute mistake. Name one of your waivers that you're taking over him.
I would pick up any of those running backs.
We're talking receivers. You need a receiver.
Brady, on an unrelated note, what jersey are you wearing right now?
This is like a 12-year-old Adam Thielen jersey when he was a special teams player, so I don't want to hear it.
I'm not picking up a receiver, but if I need a spot, then if I need somebody.
Jameson Williams or Adam Thielen?
There's one. That's Nightfall. Thielen.
I would hold on to Thielen for the touchdown value.
There's one player that we've talked about in waivers that I would take over Thielen at Zonovan Knight.
I would entertain that for sure.
I understand there's some sort of homerism in there, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Raheem Mostert.
I'm sorry. Can you say that correctly?
Raheem Mostert.
Yep. Okay. It's okay.
Probably. Did Jeff Wilson get hurt today?
I don't know.
I
only had one carry.
Please hold it.
Here, do you know?
I
know he was inefficient against.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's
his former team.
That's not good. I'm gonna stash.
I'm going to stash Raheem.
Yeah, I will as well. Yep. Jeff Wilson, I'm gonna do the same.
Stash.
You taking Jeff Wilson or Zonovan Knight?
Zonovan. Yeah.
I'm also taking Zonovan.
Yeah.
I would also take Zonovan Knight over Raheem Mostert, I think, too.
Fair.
Okay, I want Mostert for fair. Me.
Would you take Cam Akers or Jeff Wilson?
Jeff Wilson. Cam Akers.
I think I would take Cam Akers.
I'll take Akers. They're going to see what they got out of him for the rest of the year, if he's part of their long-term plan. Tyler Higbee. Trash.
He should not be on a roster.
Well, he might be my start of the week this week.
Pivoting off that so hard. I absolutely love it.
Which is a good transition. Starts of the week.
I'll start. So
to start. Yep.
Yep. Yep. I'm going to. Dak Prescott is currently playing right now. Needs to be top 10. That is a hit. So my quarterback this week is going to be Tua versus the Los Angeles Chargers.
Nine.
I would do eight.
I was going to say eight.
Bradley, remember that.
It's going to be QB.
We're not doing this.
We are doing this because you always say
once with you Bradley.
You always think that I'm against you, so I need to vocalize when I'm not against anyone. Well,
hold on. Before we move forward, just so everybody knows, after I would say, let's just say 12 and a half weeks, 13 and a half weeks. Brady leads the scoreboard. He's got 21. Jeremy's got, so I have 22. Jeremy has 21. Josh has 17. Bradley has 16.
It's a real coincidence that you bring this up when you're winning. Oh, let's get a scoreboard update. Oh, looks like I'm in the lead. That's
it is what it is. I'm not going to update it when I'm last.
Yeah, I feel that.
Jeremy, you're up.
I was second, so I'll allow it. My start of the week was Aaron Rodgers. He did not hit. Need to be top 11. But they won, so that makes me happy. My start of the week this week at the quarterback position, said his name a couple times, it's Tyler Huntley versus the Steelers.
Top 12?
Top 12.
Yep.
I like that a lot for you, Becker.
He was my number one as well. Good job. So my quarterback start of the week this last week was Joe Burrow. Need to be top six. He's currently at 2.5 points, I guess we can give it. Josh, you're not getting your quarterback start of the week. My quarterback start of the week this week is Jared Goff versus the Vikings.
Top two.
God, that attitude just makes me so mad, but I'm going to have the other two.
Am I wrong? He should be top nine, should be his line.
I don't hate that.
Good? Yeah. Josh, you're up.
Okay. Well, my start of the week last week was Trevor Lawrence. He needed to be top 10. He finished 14, so that is tough. My quarterback start of the week this upcoming week is going to be in the same game. It's going to be Kirko Chains.
Dude.
I love how you guys act. Why like I just have this. You have like this influence, or you act like I have this influence on the outcome of his performance. I'm not going
to
be here for
it. I should go back to the weeks that you've picked Kirk or TJ Hockenson or any Viking and see if they've hit.
They're 10-2. I think he'll be okay.
Yes, we are. More. Kirk, top
11.
11
or
12? 11. 11. Noted.
All right. Running backs. I went with Jamal Williams this last week. He needed to be top 14. He missed. So in turn, that is a win for me. Kind of the I need Swift to be better. So that's why I took a bullet there. I said, you know what? So he was a miss.
How about Swift getting a 1 yard touchdown run today?
Yes, that was incredible. I'm going Dalvin Cook versus the Detroit Lions.
Top 12.
Thank you. I'm pretty sure you faded Delvin to be a top 12.
I was thinking in quarterback terms.
Jeremy, you go with top 12.
Yeah, that's fine.
Fine.
Sorry. Hey, Bradley. Bradley, can I tell you something? I apologize.
Okay, it's okay. Yeah? Sorry, I got a little aggressive.
My running back start of the week this week was Najee Harris. He needed to be top 18. He was top 20. Didn't fall in the end zone. But hey, the way the season's gone, I think you'll be happy with 20 for Najee. My start of the week this week at the running back position. Another big name RB, Joel Mixon against the Cleveland Browns.
Top 12.
Yep.
I'm okay with that.
And that is why I was fine with Delvin Cook at top 12, because I knew Joe Mixon would also get top 12.
See what you did there.
Top 10.
Worked out. Man, my running back start of the week was Austin Eckler. I went for the moon. He needed to be top 4. Finished 19.
Terrible. Hate to see it.
You guys have any guesses on who my start of the week is?
Ramondre.
Zonovan Knight.
No. It's a team that I don't like. He's playing
AJ Dillon.
No, okay. Aaron Jones. He's on a bye too, Josh.
Nice.
Okay, we're done with this. I'm playing Zeke Elliott versus the Houston Texans.
Nice. Top three.
Exactly.
Top 12.
Top 12. Boy.
Oh, Brady hates that.
We have the same criteria with him, Dalvin Cook, and Joe Mixon. What are we doing here? I was
going to say 15 for what it's worth.
14.
Can I hear 15?
14.
What would Tony have Pollard been?
That's we'll find that out here in about 2 seconds. So my start of the week is Rashad White. He's yet to play New Orleans in my start of the week this upcoming week. I want in on that defense. I'm playing Tony Pollard versus the Texans.
He wants in on the defense. 13.
Top 13, yeah.
Bought it. It's good. I mean.
Is it good?
Yep.
I disagree.
Nope. Tony Pollard is currently out-touching Ezekiel Elliott 9-8 at this point.
Save them for next week because we know they're going to be totally
rocked. Sounds like we got a good value, baby.
Let's talk wide receivers.
Wide receivers. So I went with Deebo Samuel. When I picked Sunday, I didn't know he was banged up all week, but he actually had some pretty good work. missed being a wide receiver one, so that was a miss. And I'm going to go with another mid-tier wide receiver, upper-tier receiver, and Jalen Waddle versus the Chargers. I'm going to stack him into a...
I like it. Top 14.
Hey.
Ooh, okay, Brady. Becker.
It is.
I was going to say, get on
Let's go.
I can argue with that.
Damn.
My start of the week at the wide receiver position was Garrett Wilson. He need to be top 16. He's
great pull. Great pull. I wonder how. Thank you. Oh, it's crazy.
Appreciate that. My wide receiver start of the week this week
average is
DK Metcalf versus Heads Carolina.
We will be doing that going forward.
100%. 16. Let's say 17.
No, 16.
Oh, okay. 16 it is.
Because if two of us say 16, yes, that's
how it know. Goes. I know. I'm giving you a hard time, Brady. It's okay.
Wide receiver start of the week for me this last week was Christian Kirk. He needed to be top 20. He's at 16. Hit.
So questionable. Far? Questionable.
Okay.
He actually had a really good week. As far
didn't
as
get in the, he didn't even get in the top, did he?
Nope.
Nope. I really like him this week, but I'm not going to pick him again. So I'm going to go with actually DK's teammate, Tyler Lockett, versus Pitts Carolina.
16.
I'm okay with that.
Yep. Should have went 17 anyway. Dang it. Wasn't playing Jeremy's that. Game.
I told you. That's
right. Dang. Yeah. 20. Right. 20 for DK.
My wide receiver start of the week last week, or just this past week, was Amari Cooper, and he'd be top 13. He had 46, so he was real close. So my wide receiver start of the week is going to be Amon-Ra St. Brown versus the Vikings.
I hate this.
Top 10.
9.
I'm serious.
Yeah, I think it's got to be at least 10.
So is your vote, Jeremy, 10 or 9?
10.
Okay. Mine was 9, just so we're all clear.
I'll remember that, Becker.
You won't.
Okay, so my tight end start of the week plays tomorrow, and it's Taysom Hill. So that's a hit. and I'm going to go with Hunter Henry versus Arizona Cardinals next
that's
week.
That's a great start of the week. Top 12.
Top 12.
Thanks. I'm feeling 4-4 this week.
My tight end start of the week is Dalton Schultz. He's playing right now, so that's a miss.
Atta boy.
I was trying to decide which way I was gonna go, and I leaned that way. So because Bradley went, that's a hit. So I had felt like I had to say that's a miss. All right, my tight end start of the week.
Thanks for explaining
this week. Appreciate that. Yep. Gerald Everett versus the Dolphins.
It's a good one.
Top this 10. Guy is a staple in our starts of the week. Let's just call it what it is.
go back and double check that I was not the last one to say Gerald Everett.
I'm good with 10.
10's fine.
Let's do it.
Okay, I had George Kittle. We got a
tone of voice. He's got to be hit, right?
We have to temper our expectation for George Kittle.
I'm not saying we'd give it top
25. Yeah, so I'm not saying, but
fine, we'll give you top 24.
George Kittle this next week, though. I am going with Stash Mania. Tyler Higbee is my start of the week.
Top 12.
Don't make it sound like it was that bad of a pick, Bradley.
I thought about giving you 14.
You're not gonna like this.
T.J. Hockenson.
Reevaluate right now if it's T.J. Hockenson because you have three players from the same game.
I know. My tight end start of the week this past week was Evan Engram. He popped off, so that was a hit. He needed to be top 12, and he finished 3. And my tight end start of the week, I'm putting all my chips in, T.J. Hockenson. Revenge game.
6. Top 5. Okay, 5's good.
Brady needed no convincing there whatsoever. He's like, oh, 5, okay.
J-Bex, you good with 5?
Yeah, I'm great.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. Great. One less than Kittle was last week. Logic.
Whatever. One's got to go. We are doing fantasy rest of the season.
This is so tough.
Some young stud receivers. A.J. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Which one's got to go?
Somebody else go first.
Is it ridiculous to say, or just to kind of start thinking just of sheer health-wise, that we don't know if Chase is like 100%? I'm thinking out loud. I'm not officially deciding anything.
I'll go first.
Thank you. I don't want the responsibility.
My one's got to go is CeeDee Lamb. I believe towards the end of the year, they are going to continue to run the ball a lot more. They are very much in the Odell Beckham Jr. sweepstakes, which could take away from his target share. A.J. Brown, the Eagles are going to be playing for somebody for something the rest of the year. So are the Cowboys, but I'm saying for the number one seed. Ja'Marr Chase, he's going to be fine. And we already talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're putting up points.
To me, it's either A.J. Brown or it's CeeDee Lamb. And the only reason it'd be A.J. Brown is because I don't want to ride the roller coaster. That's a fair point. But I'm going to go with CeeDee Lamb because what I've kind of learned in fantasy football is that you need the boom weeks because if somebody scores 1 point and you lose, that's fine. But when they score the 40 points, that's when you win your weeks. And it's more about stacking wins.
It was just funny how you delivered it where you're like, I don't know if I want to ride the wave. So for that reason, CeeDee Lamb's got to go.
I was just explaining my thought process.
Okay. You did good.
What about you, Becker?
Mine is also CeeDee Lamb. When I look at these four, I feel like those other three have higher ceilings mixed with a little bit more safety. With CD, because of the running game, because of their willingness to ride the running game, similar factors that Brady mentioned, that I think it's CD. But, I mean, obviously you're thrilled if you have any four of them on your team.
I'm being convinced. Chase had 97 yards today. He's looked absolutely fine. So I think his health, it's not going to be a concern. So I, for those reasons too, I'm with CeeDee Lamb. That's got to go.
Okay, this might be crazy. I did not know CeeDee Lamb was the wide receiver 7 right now in the year.
Yes, he is. He's had a very good year.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm changing mine. Amon-Ra St. Brown's got to go.
It's between those two for me. Like those were the two bottom ones for me.
To be honest with you, out of these four, like I'm a Sun God owner, and I feel really good about having him. I don't really have any shares of the other guys, but like I love that I have Amon-Ra on my team because of his target.
I would trade him if I had him in a dynasty league.
We've been saying that for like a year and a half, though, haven't we?
Who?
Amon-Ra. I feel like people have been saying trade him for a long time now. Is my point.
So trade him.
I'm not trading.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Fourth and a Mile. Thank you so much for joining us. Go deep, and we'll see you.